You are listening to episode number 62 of the Secondary Science Simplified podcast. As a former secondary science teacher, I can confidently say that if you're listening to this, I know that you have 2 million things on your plate on a daily basis. I can also confidently say that if your teaching experience is anything like mine has been, you have something around 45 minutes built in a day, 90 minutes if you are a lucky duck on a block schedule. That's all you have to accomplish all of the things you're expected to do as a secondary science teacher. And using that time well and having a productive planning period is utterly essential to you having any sort of work-life balance whatsoever. And you might be listening and thinking, Rebecca, work-life balance, what is this you speak of? And I'll be honest, I never used to think it was possible to do the job of a secondary science teacher well and only work during my 40 contracted hours a week. But then I got really, really drained by this job and I became committed to making changes, like deleting email off my phone and like no longer taking work home. And slowly but surely, I was able to cut back on my work time from 60 hours a week to 55, then to 50, and then to more like 40 or 45 on average. And I did this all while managing 5 preps. And one of my keys to success was completely revolutionizing my planning period in order to maximize its effectiveness so that in that very, very limited amount of time I had, I could get all the things done that I needed to. And so there are 5 ways that I guarantee if you're listening to this, you can instantly have a more productive planning period if it's something you're ready to truly commit to doing. So are you ready to hear more? Let's get to it. This is Secondary Science Simplified, a podcast for secondary science teachers who want to engage their students and simplify their lives. I'm Rebecca Joyner from It's Not Rocket Science. As a high school science teacher turned curriculum writer, I'm passionate about helping other science teachers love their jobs, serve their students, and do it all in only 40 hours a week. Are you ready to rock the time you spend in your classroom and actually have a life outside of it? You're in the right place, teacher friend. Let's get to today's episode. Okay, y'all, I know that these are going to be hard things to hear, but if you are tired enough and drained enough, you will be motivated enough to try some new things to make your planning period more productive, okay? So I'm going to share 5 very specific things you can do. You can literally start doing these today if you're listening to this on your way to school, okay? First, I want to challenge you to lock your door and turn off your lights your entire planning period, okay? And I'm not kidding. I seriously want you to try this. Because I feel like this is such a simple suggestion, but it really helps for a couple of reasons. First, it helps shut out all the external noise and distractions of your coworkers and your students. And I'll talk about this a little bit more later. But also, it kind of is like putting up a do not disturb sign on a hotel room door. Like when you turn off your lights and you close the door, you're saying like, I'm not here. Maybe I'll be here physically, but I'm not here mentally, emotionally to chat with you. And you will be amazed how much time you can save when you don't have someone popping into your classroom to ask a quick question or just check in and see how your day's going. I think especially if you're getting those pop-ins from students. I once had a classroom that was directly across the hall from the girls' bathroom, and I cannot tell you how many times one of my students would just stop by to say hi on their way to or from the classroom because they're just trying to kill some time. But you know, we had great relationships. They just wanted to say hey or check in. But even when I was quickly shooing them off, like, you need to get back to class, it was still a distraction. And it was still an interruption that was causing me to then have to refocus again. And so I found that locking the door and turning off the lights was super helpful. And not only did those interruptions, again, just take up actual physical time that I had, but again, it's just a huge mental distraction. You can't possibly maximize your ability to focus effectively with these kinds of interruptions. And so another thing I've done in every classroom I've taught in, other than just locking my door and turning off the lights, is I have literally positioned my desk as far away from the door as possible to avoid people being able to peek in the window and see if I'm sitting at my desk. And that's something that really helps too. So I recommend if you have the capacity, rearrange your classroom so that your desk is furthest away from the window so that people can't see if you're there. And I'm not saying I'm like anti-community or anti-relationships with, you know, your coworkers. I am introverted. I am naturally introverted. But I think that those kinds of relationships are best cultivated over a shared lunch duty or over watching a Friday night football game as you're supporting students or over going to a baseball game, you know, after school to watch your students play. I think if you want to have a more productive planning period, you're going to have to prioritize that time to get tasks done and it not be a social hour in any sense of the word. And so if you have to hide in a dark corner of your classroom in order to get 45 or 50 minutes of peace and quiet and focus, do it. I think it's so helpful. I also, if you're like, my room is really dark, I don't have windows if I turn off the lights, just get a little lamp from Home Goods or TJ Maxx, just a cheap little lamp, and you can have that so you can see at your desk. But I also want to let you know that your coworkers and students aren't the only ones that are most likely distracting you and keeping you from a productive planning period. It's also your admin and parents in your inbox. And so my second tip for you to instantly make your planning period more productive is to not check your email during your planning period. Nothing will throw you off more mentally and emotionally and from a production, a productivity standpoint than an angry email from a parent or a digital request from an admin for yet another task they want to put on your plate. And I know you can't avoid these entirely, but you can avoid them during the small period of time you have set aside each day to plan and prep for your classes. And so you can avoid them by not checking your email during that time. I really think a huge part of decreasing our work hours after school hours, after our contract hours, is training the people in your work life that you are only available X amount of time. Like you're not available constantly. If we become constantly reachable via email, via text, whatever, then they will expect us to constantly be reachable. And there is a transition period. Like if you have trained parents, students, admin, that you will respond to emails at all hours of the workday and at all hours of the regular day outside of school, then you're going to have to work hard to change that perception so that they will stop expecting you to respond to them. But it is doable. I am living proof of it. Okay. So I know you have to check your email. I'm not saying never check it, but for me, I would check my email before school. Like when I got to school, before I started teaching, I made sure to get there early so I could do a check then. Because oftentimes, like if admin or something sent you something for the day that you need to see, I would need to see it before school started. And then I would check after school. That was it before I left for the day. Before I narrowed down to this, I was checking before school, during my planning, at lunch, after school. And I realized like I would be having some back and forth email threads with people where I was connecting with them four times a day. That is absurd. And that is so much back and forth time. You do not need to connect with people that much. And so I started by deleting email off my phone. I started by never checking at home. And that is like a great first step. But then I started by realizing, okay, I need to actually start checking less during the school day too. And so I really, really recommend only checking like twice during the school day if you are able and not checking multiple times. And I really, really try to protect that planning period time so I could get very, very focused on it. So again, I recommend personally, if you can, check right when you get to school and then right before you leave to go home. And I would set a timer and don't spend more than 15 minutes in your inbox. Okay, I think we can spend so much time in our inbox. Anything that's going to require more than that, just meet with that person in person. I think it goes so much better with parents if you don't go back and forth. Like if you get a long email, I had an email once from a parent. I copied and pasted it into Word and it was 10 pages long. Not double spaced. I'm not exaggerating. So when you see any of those emails, I would borderline not even read it. And I would just say, hey, let's go ahead and get a parent-teacher conference on the calendar. This will be so much easier. I have found that devoting like 15 to 20 minutes to an in-person conference with a parent eliminates so much email discourse for the rest of the year. So I highly recommend doing that. And also with your admin, I talked about this in an interview I did with my own science teacher last year with Zach Mattson. I'll link it in the show notes, but we talked about how like he said, like when admin would email him something that was like a semi-emergency and he didn't respond, they realized like, oh, he's busy teaching. And they realized like, we need to go interrupt his class if this is really that important. And he's like, you know what? It trained admin to stop emailing me things that were that important. Or like, if I missed a last minute faculty meeting, sorry, I didn't see it. I was doing my job teaching. And you know, he's taught there for 10 years or 20 years now, but you kind of earn that rapport. But I just think it's good to train admin. Like, I know you may have a lot of schools, but if it's a true emergency, like, it should not be sent in an email. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm already going on a tangent longer than I want to about this, but I really want to challenge you. I know you may be thinking like, I'm only in my inbox for 5 minutes, but if your planning period is 50 minutes, you just spent 10% of your planning period on an email. Okay. That's a lot of time. So if you don't believe me, I really challenge you, just try for a week. Just this week, do zero email checking during your planning period. And I would really love to hear how it goes. I think if you're like me at all, you'll be amazed at the time you reclaim, but also just the mental energy that like that distraction of an email takes from you. And I think this, you know, this no checking email thing does go multiple ways though. I don't want you to check your email during your planning period. And I really don't want you to check your work email when you're at home. But I also want to challenge you guys. Don't check your personal email and messages at work either. Okay. So that's my third challenge for you. During your planning period, don't look at your phone. Okay. Save that for lunch. I like to check in with my personal messages during lunch while I'm eating and I'm taking like a brain break from work. And I know this is hard as a teacher for me to challenge you to not look at your phone during your planning, because I know that you don't get coffee breaks and you don't have the ability to meet with a friend for lunch or even schedule an appointment during the workday. Heck, I don't know if you're like me, but I would have to get a substitute just to go to my 2 routine dental visits a year. It was ridiculous. I tried to schedule one to be like over Christmas break and then the next one 6 months later. So it's in June. But you know, oftentimes that doesn't work based on the dentist schedule. And then you're having to go like in May and November and get a sub. It's crazy town. So I get it. Like, it's hard to go like zero dark 30 and be completely disconnected from the real world. As my husband says, like off the grid, you know, for 8 to 10 hours a day. But I really want you to protect your planning period and save the check-in with your personal messages for lunch. I know that you don't like being locked away from the outside world for 10 hours a day. I get it. But I really believe if you're willing to not look at your phone, you can have a more productive planning period. And I think it's because our phone becomes just a rabbit hole of mental distractions. You know, 1 minute you're just responding to a few texts, you know, that you got from your spouse or you got from a friend or from your mom or whatever. But then next you're thinking about your kid's orthodontist appointment because you got a reminder message about that. And you're like, oh, I need to go reschedule that. And then next a calendar notification pops up that you need to take your dog to the vet so that you can get their prescription refilled for their flea meds. And then if you're like me, it turns into a not so quick scroll through social media. And before you know it, you've burnt through 15 or 20 minutes of your planning period. Y'all, it's not worth it. None of that is worth it. It's not of substance. And I know this is so hard, but I really want you to try it. I personally, y'all, because I was so tempted by my phone, I had like the little skinny desk that's like, the skinny drawer in your desk that's kind of like right under where you sit. Mine always had a lock on it. I literally would lock my phone in there at the start of the day so that I wouldn't be tempted, because I was just so tempted to grab it. And then if I could make it to lunch without looking for it, I was like, I got to reward myself. And so if I could make it to lunch without unlocking it, that's when I would spend lunch like scrolling and letting that be my little brain break reward. And it really worked like a charm. Or if I got through all of my tasks that I planned for planning period and I still had time left, then I could look at my phone then and make that some motivation too. And I just really, really want to encourage you, protect your planning period at all costs, physically by locking your door and turning out the lights, mentally by, you know, not checking your email from parents, and emotionally too, by not like getting disconnected and distracted by your regular life during your work lifetime. Okay. Use that time. Save the mental scrolling for your lunch break. Okay. You can have one hand on a sandwich and one hand on your phone for your whole lunch break. Okay. So those 3 tips are the first of 5. And those are really about protecting your time in order to maximize the very few minutes you have. But then the next 2 tips are more about how to best use the time that you do have and use it well. So we're first going to protect our time. Now let's use it well. And these 2 suggestions are for you. Okay. So first, time block your period to force yourself to focus. Okay. So take a week to do some action research. Hopefully, if you've been listening to the episode so far this year, you've already done a time audit. But if you haven't, use this week and time yourself and see how long it takes you to do certain things. Okay, so time yourself, see how long it takes you to grade a set of bell ringers, how long it takes to grade a set of labs, how long it takes for you to prep a lab, how long it takes for you to lesson plan for one of your classes for a week, how long it takes you to update, you know, your website or input things into the grade book. Time them. And I know that like not all labs are created equal. Some will require more prep. I get that. But this helps give you an idea of if you are like completely focused and not distracted, how long does it take you to do something? And then use that as a way to estimate how long it's going to take you to do different things during your planning period. And then you can chunk up your planning period into smaller pieces and use a timer to work within those time blocks. Okay, so for example, in a 50-minute class period, I know that it takes me less than 5 minutes to grade a class set of bell ringers. And if I have like 3 sections of biology, I can honestly probably grade all of those if it's the same bell ringer still within 5 minutes, okay? Because you're just batching and you're doing the same thing. So I would block out my 50-minute class period. I'm going to spend 5 minutes grading bell ringers. I'm going to spend 10 minutes grading an assignment that I collected, you know, yesterday from students to give back today. I'm going to spend 10 minutes prepping a lab for the next class period. And then I'm going to spend 25 minutes maybe writing lesson plans for the next unit for whatever class it is. And set timers, okay? And over, like when that timer goes off, if you're only halfway through, you're like, I need to hightail it through this now. I'm spending way too much time on this because this should only take me 10 minutes. And I'm telling you, you'll be amazed at how much more productively you work under time constraints when you know that there's a timer coming. I cannot tell you how many times I've been writing a podcast episode or a blog post and my timer goes off for how long I've allotted to do it. And I'm like, OMG, I'm only halfway through this. So then I give myself another 5 minutes and I do the first half in 30 minutes and the next half in 5 minutes. Like your brain will turn it on when it knows it has to, okay? So again, time yourself and see how long it takes you just as a standard. Use that as your control group and then use that as your planning how you're going to spend your class periods. Like for me, like in my current season of life, I used to spend about 2 hours on every single blog post I wrote. And my kids only nap in the afternoon for 2 hours. So I can't just spend an entire nap time writing one blog post. Like I can't do that. I've got 3 kids. I have their naps all overlapped in a 2-hour period. I need to make the most of that. And so I got to the point where I trained myself that I could write a blog post within 45 minutes tops. I just don't have 2 hours to write a blog post. It doesn't work. And so I trained myself. And so I started like, I'll outline a podcast or, you know, a blog post, if I'm like going to have 5 points, like this one has 5 points, I'll think about those throughout the week. And then when I sit down to write it, I've already got the 5 points and now I just need to flesh it out. Okay. And I've trained myself. It took time, but now I can always write a blog post or outline a podcast within 45 minutes. And you can do this too with your teaching tasks. I promise you. And I'm just a huge fan of batching in general. And I have a blog post specifically about batching your lesson planning that I will link in the show notes because it's a huge time saver. Okay, so I want you to time block your period and I want you to set timers for yourself. Don't do it on your phone because then you have your phone out. You know, you can do it on your, if you have an Apple Watch or something like that, you could also just pull up a timer on as like a tab on your computer. And those really helped me too. But use a timer and time out how long you're going to spend on things and then move on when the timer goes off. Okay, and then last, I cannot recommend this enough, y'all. You think this is so simple, you're going to be like, this is too simple, Rebecca. It's not. Plan how you're going to use your time in advance. Don't waste time sitting down and figuring out what you need to do first. Okay, I make a plan every Friday. I did this in my classroom and I do it now that I work from home, where I plan out the entire next week's worth of lesson planning periods. And I say, or now it's my nap times. And I say, this is what I'm going to do during Monday's planning. This is what I'm going to do during Tuesday's planning. And I write it down. I have a very, very simple notepad that I will link in the show notes that I get on Amazon. And at the end of the week, I do this and I write out what we're going to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I write it out. And I even make sure, like, if I'm at school and I'm planning on only checking my email twice, I write down in my little block, email check AM, email check PM, so I can cross those off. But then I plan out the planning period. And it helps so much so that when I come in Monday and it's my planning period and I'm like, okay, what do I need to do? I don't spend 5 minutes figuring out what I need to do. I look at my little to-do list and I'm like, okay, perfect. This is what I need to do. Today, you know, my kids went down for a nap I looked at my to-do list and I'm like, okay, I already outlined 3 podcast episodes. I need to record 3 podcast episodes while they're sleeping. And the other thing I love to do, y'all, is I love, like, let's say it's a Tuesday and you know, tomorrow morning when you get in, you need to check your email. And then during planning period, you're going to review your lesson plans for, you know, chemistry next week. And then you're going to grade something. I love to set up my desk before I leave. So I will pull up the tabs on my computer for like email, the lesson plans I'm looking through. And then on the center of my desk, I'll put the stack of like primetime bell ringers I need to grade when I get in. And so that way, when I walk into my classroom, it's right there. Like this morning for me, or this afternoon, I guess it's afternoon nap now. But when I walked in to record these podcast episodes, I already had the software pulled up. And then I had the 3 outlines that I'd already written for the 3 episodes I need to record. And I had my email notifications already silenced so that as soon as I walked in, it was already here. I start recording right away. And then after it's done, I'll unsilence my email notifications so I can check in there. But I really recommend, we talked about this in one of the earlier episodes this year, but like starting well and ending well. And one way you can start well in your day-to-day lessons and your day-to-day life as a teacher is by ending well and setting yourself up for the next day. So before you leave school for the week, before you go for the weekend, plan out your next week. And then before you leave at the end of the day, go ahead and set up your desk space so it's ready for your next morning or your next planning period to jump right in tackling what you need to tackle when you get there with no distractions so that you can walk in, lock your phone into your desk, and then start working. I cannot tell you how much this helps. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. No distractions. Just your plan of attack, you in your silent, dark room with a locked door. That's how you're going to have the most productive planning period possible. Okay, I beg you. I know some of these may sound too simple, but they're not. They're not too good to be true. Please try these. Please try one at least, if not all 5. And then let me know how it goes. I want to hear from you. And I just want to encourage you that like it is possible to use your work time more efficiently and productively so that you can leave work at work and have a life outside of it. I am living proof of this. And I started this podcast and I wrote my professional development course so that I can cheer you along the way in doing this and experiencing this for yourself. And the last thing I'll say before I let you go, if you try all these 5 things and you're still really, really struggling, I want you to tune in next week. I have a special guest episode that's airing and it's an interview I did with an ADHD life coach. And I'm not saying that like if you struggle with this, you have ADHD. I cannot diagnose you at all. But what I am saying is one of you reached out and you said, I'm a secondary science teacher with ADHD. I need help on like how to do this and not get distracted. And how do I do all the things we do? Because again, like as secondary science teachers specifically, I know I'm biased and I'm sorry if you're listening and you teach something different, but like, I think we have the most on our plates of any teacher. We have the most like things that we're juggling in terms of like lesson planning and grading like every other teacher and professional development and meetings and all that. But also as a science teacher, you have labs you have to prep and grade and keep stock of inventory for. And then also as a secondary teacher, as high school teachers, we're all coaching or like running 5 clubs, you know? So there's just so much that goes into it. And so that's a lot, especially if you have ADHD to like manage all that and balance all that. So a teacher reached out to me. I found an ADHD life coach to interview and our episode's going to air next week. And she has so many great suggestions for teachers with ADHD, but honestly, they are applicable and helpful for any teacher. And a lot of these tips transfer to serving our students who have ADHD. So even if you don't have ADHD, these tips, and I feel like in this episode will really benefit you in serving your students and thinking about how you can care for them well in your classroom. So I don't want you to miss that. To make sure you never miss an episode, be sure to follow the Secondary Science Simplified podcast wherever it is you listen to podcasts. I know then when I'm in Apple Podcasts on Mondays, like this podcast pops up. It's like refreshed that it's there every Monday, like the new one's here. And that's why you can make sure you don't miss any. And if you're looking for any links I mentioned today in the episode, you can always grab those in the show notes at itsnotrocketscienceclassroom.com/episode62. And please try out one of these 5 tips and let me know how it goes. I would love to hear from you. All right, teacher friends, that wraps up today's episode. If you're looking for an easy way to start simplifying your life as a secondary science teacher, head to itsnotrocketscienceclassroom.com/challenge to grab your classroom reset challenge. And guess what? It's totally free. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll see you here next week. Until then, I'll be rooting for you, teacher friend.